The scripture reading for tonight is Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, we'll read the whole chapter. The text is verses 11 through 18. 11 through 13. Paul is writing to the church in Philippi. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The text is verses 11, or so far do we read scripture, and the text is verses 11 through 13. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Why did Paul speak of contentment in Philippians chapter 4? To understand that, know that Paul was writing this epistle from prison in Rome.
And while he was in prison in Rome, the church in Philippi had actually sent to him a gift. And Paul was thankful for that gift. He speaks about it first in verse 10. He talks about their care towards him. In verses 15 through 17, he talks more about that gift. After he first mentions the gift, though, in verse 10, he talks about how he was thankful. He rejoiced in the Lord even at receiving it. But Paul did not want the Philippians to have the wrong impression. He did not want them to think that he needed the gift in order to be satisfied in this life. He also didn't want them to think that he was trying to get them to give him more gifts. So, after Paul wrote about receiving the gift in verse 10, he writes in verse 11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." He begins, "Not that I speak in respect of want." So he's saying, I am not saying that I am in want or I am in need of anything from you. I have learned to be content in whatever state I am in. Paul had learned contentment. And so the question for us to think about tonight is, am I content? Am I content with where God has placed me in this life? And we understand as soon as we start thinking about contentment, that is very hard for every one of us, including the children. It's very hard for children to be content when someone else in their class gets a new toy or has new clothes or new shoes or something like that. It's very hard for young people to be content with the body type that they have been given or the athleticism that they have been given. It's hard for a single person to be content. Maybe they always thought that they would have a spouse and children, and God has not given those things to them. It's very hard for husband and wife to be content with their spouse. Hard because they live with a sinner. It's hard for a mother in the home to be content as she takes care of children all day in what can sometimes be quite a thankless job. It's hard for a father to be content maybe with the job that he has to have to support his family. It's hard maybe for older people to be content with the pains and the sicknesses that they face. It's hard. It's hard to be content for each one of us. So ask yourself as you hear the word tonight, am I content with where God has placed me, and am I learning contentment? We will see tonight that Christ empowers his people to be content. And may he do so through the word. May he do so through the word brought to you tonight. May we be content, live in contentment to the glory of the God who has saved us and who has assured us of that salvation this morning, assured us of that Jesus Christ really did break his body and shed his blood for us. Knowing that, may we more and more be content. Let's consider the text under the theme, Learning Christian Contentment. Learning Christian Contentment. First, Christian contentment. Second, learning it. And third, the only possibility. Learning Christian contentment. First, Christian contentment. What that is. Contentment is being at peace with your earthly life and circumstances. Being content is the opposite, then, of being covetous. Hebrews 13, verse 5 shows that, speaks of both of those actions. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have,
for he hath said, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. To covet is to be dissatisfied with what God has given to you. It is to desire what God has not been pleased to give. So really, being covetous is rebellion. It's saying that God, who's the great distributor of all things, he doesn't really know how to distribute things. He hasn't given to me enough of this certain thing. It's rebellion. And we live in an environment that's full of coveting. The consumer culture that we live in encourages it. The ads on TV, the ads on the internet say you need this to be happy in this life. You need it. You deserve it. And the use of social media can lead to that, lead to coveting as well. On Facebook, for instance, you see another woman at church whose husband takes her on this or that trip, and you think, my husband doesn't do that for me, and you begin to covet. We see a picture of someone else there. Maybe that happens with the young people. We see a picture of someone else. Maybe we think, I wish that I had those kind of looks, that kind of body, that kind of hair, something like that. This covetousness is the opposite of being content. Covetousness is to be dissatisfied with what God has given you. That's one thing. Another is complaining. Complaining is also the opposite of contentment. And complaining is something that we so easily do as well, whether that be with our mouth, but even just with our thoughts. Maybe kids think, my parents, they don't get me nice things like those kids' parents get for them. Or as adults, we think, my garage is too small, my kitchen is too small. Complaining is common, and it's the opposite of contentment, what the apostle speaks of in this text. Again, contentment is being at peace. We're satisfied with our earthly life and circumstances. Being content is to say and truly to believe, I don't need different looks or greater athleticism. I'm satisfied with what God has made me to be. It's saying and believing, I don't need a different spouse. I don't need a different house. And I do not need a different calling. What I have been given is enough. And I'm at peace with the earthly circumstances that God has sent to me. Now, do understand that being content does not mean that one may not ever seek a different job. Sometimes a job is very difficult for us to hold because of maybe an injury or something like that. But to be content does mean that if no other job is available, that we are content with God's way for us. We say God's way is good. If this is the job that I must have to support my family at this time, which it seems to be, then I am content. I'm satisfied with God's way for me. His way is good. Being content does not mean either that you may not ever purchase a bigger house, especially if you have a growing family. But it does mean that if you do not have the means whereby to purchase that house, you're content. You say God's way is good. We are at peace with our earthly circumstances. Well, may it be clear that true contentment is being at peace in even difficult times. Paul says in verse 11, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And the idea of state is circumstance. I have learned in whatever circumstance I am in to be content. That's true contentment. You see, people in the world, they might be currently satisfied with the circumstances that they're in. They might say, I have a nice house, and I have a very kind wife, and I have a nice car. I'm happy with where my life is right now. But
What happens when the circumstances change? What happens when things go south and some of those things are taken away? True Christian contentment is being at peace even when things go south. True Christian contentment does not depend on your outward circumstances. True Christian contentment is being at peace even when you lose your job, even when your spouse maybe dies or your health declines. That's true Christian contentment. True Christian contentment is being at peace with your earthly life and circumstances, and that is possible only for the believer. Only for the believer for whom God is everything. Paul, a believer here in chapter 4, he says that he learned contentment. Contentment is possible only for the believer for whom God is everything. A believer is one who trusts in Jesus for salvation and that God's way is good. Now, the act of believing, that's a gift of God. Paul makes that plain earlier in the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 29. He says, "Unto you, that is unto the church, it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." So the activity of believing is a gift of God. One only believes because he has first been united to Jesus Christ by the bond of faith. And being united to Jesus Christ, he exercises faith. He believes. So a believer is one who trusts in Jesus for salvation, and he trusts that God is always working all things for his good. Thus, he trusts that God's way is good. The believer enjoys life with God. He knows the Lord's everlasting love and care. And he seeks to serve the Lord. He seeks to serve God in thankfulness. And knowing God's care and seeking to serve him, he is enjoying life with God. Now this believer who has life with God, he comes to see that that life with God is everything. He could lose everything on this earth, but he can see that he has the Lord's care, so he really doesn't need anything. He has the Lord. Hebrews 13, verse 5 explains that. We already read it, but we'll read it again. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." That's what the believer knows. He knows that God will never leave him or forsake him. He knows that God is always with him, and thus God is surely making all things work for his good. Surely making all things turn to his advantage and guiding him all the way to glory. He knows that. So he has peace in every earthly circumstance. Only the believer can actually be content. Only he can have peace in every circumstance, knowing God's love and God's care. Understand in the second place, knowing what Christian contentment is, understand that the believer must learn contentment. He must learn contentment. In verse 11, Paul says, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." So believers have to learn that life with God is everything so that they are content in every circumstance. Naturally, man is not and man cannot be content in all of the different circumstances of this life. That's due to the fall. Man was created a covenant creature. He lived with God and delighted in him, and he loved that life with God above all else. But what happened is that man sinned.
He was perfectly satisfied, perfect peace, until he sinned. And when man sinned, he lost that life with God. And now we are naturally empty, and we try to fill up that emptiness with earthly pleasures and earthly experiences, but those things never satisfy. Naturally, all men are dead in sin, and they cannot be content. Instead, they are covetous. That's what we are of ourselves. See that tonight. We of ourselves are covetous. We always think we need more. The rich man who has billions of dollars, he always wants more. There's always someone who has a little bit more. Maybe he's getting close, and he wants more than them. They always want more. A woman gets clothes or a surgery done to supposedly improve her looks, but soon something else is supposedly needed. Always more. One seeks pleasure, but when it's over, he needs more. He has this weekend, has all kinds of pleasure, he thinks, but then he needs more, more and more. It's never enough. More vacation, more fun weekends, never satisfied. Naturally, we are covetous, and thus we naturally complain. We naturally say, they have this, why can't I have it? Now that's the way man naturally is. We, who have been united to Jesus Christ and now believe, we must learn contentment. Understand that. We have been united to Christ. We believe in Him for all of our salvation. We have been, therefore, united to Him. We would not believe if we weren't united to Him. We have life with God. Yet, we still have an old man of sin within us, and that old man of sin is always trying to bring us to think that life with God is not enough, and we need something more to be satisfied. We need things to be happy. The old man says that getting things is most important. Getting popularity, getting money, getting nice vacations, that's most important. And the old man wants us to be covetous, desiring those things that God has not been pleased to give us. That's what he wants. And having that old man of sin within us, we need God to teach us contentment. We need Him to teach us to stop coveting and stop complaining and instead to be satisfied. We need Him to teach us that life with Him is everything. Knowing Him, loving Him, serving Him, that's the only life that satisfies. We need Him to teach us that. And learning that life with Him is everything, we will be content. We will be at peace in all the different circumstances of this life. Now, God teaches us contentment through the experiences of life. He teaches us contentment, and He does so through the experiences of life. Paul makes that plain in the text. He says that he learned contentment through the experiences of life that God sent him. That's verses 11 and 12. Verse 11, he says, I learned contentment. Then in the verse following, verse 12, he says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So in verse 12, part of what Paul is indicating is that he learned contentment through trials that God sent him in this life. He talks about those trials. In verse 12, he speaks of being abased. That means being brought very low. He speaks of hungering. He speaks of being brought or suffering need. And in other passages in the New Testament, Paul speaks of some of the great hardships that he went through in this life, that God sent him. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23b through 27, Paul lists some of the hardships that he went through. He says, in stripes above measure, that's beatings, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. What suffering Paul went through in his life. And he undoubtedly saw many other Christians suffering far less than what he did. Undoubtedly, when he went to certain places and preached throughout his life, he saw these other Christians who didn't have to be concerned about where their next meal would come from and didn't have to be concerned about being put in prison or being persecuted or even killed. Part of what Paul is saying in Philippians 4, verse 12, is that he did learn contentment, though, in those times of difficulty. He says, I am instructed. Notice that I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I am instructed means I have been taught. I have been taught by God to be content through these difficult trials in my life. Now, how? How did that happen? God used these trials that Paul faced to show Paul that life with God is everything. You see, there were times in Paul's life where he had next to nothing. But God used these times of trouble to bring Paul to lean on him, to provide what was needed, to seek his face. And Paul found that life with God, this fellowship with God, that's everything. That's what really satisfied him. He saw, yes, all I need in life is the Lord, and He is with me. He's with me, and I am at peace then, even during these terribly hard times. I have Him with me. I may not have much, but I have God with me, and He's providing exactly what I need. And He's guiding me with His counsel and will afterward receive me to glory. I'm at peace. God also used prosperous times to teach Paul contentment. Prosperous times. Verse 12 shows that he did have some of those times of prosperity. He speaks there of abounding. Also, he says, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. So there were times where Paul did have much. But he's saying that God taught him during these times too, contentment. God led him to see that having a lot never satisfies either, because you always want more. You just want more. Life with God, that's what satisfies. A life in which you are leaning upon Jesus for all of your salvation, trusting that His way is good, fellowshipping with Him, seeking to serve Him in thankfulness. That is a life in which you are satisfied. So God taught him through all the circumstances of life, times where he was abounding, times where he was abased. God used those circumstances to teach him contentment. Now, as he did for Paul, God also uses the circumstances of life to teach us contentment. God uses trials to teach us that. And to see that, think for a moment of having cancer. Maybe you have a loved one that has cancer. Maybe someone right here has cancer right now. God uses cancer to teach a family and teach a church family contentment. You see, during those times of hardship, God brings His people to think upon Him a lot and to pray. He brings them to dwell upon the salvation that they have in Jesus Christ during those times. He brings them to think, yes, cancer might destroy this body, but I have Christ. And when he comes again, he will raise my body incorruptible. That's his promise.
He brings us to think upon that promise. He brings us to think upon the promise that he'll never leave us or forsake us, that he's making all things work for our good, that he's guiding us with his counsel and will afterward receive us to glory. He makes us to think upon the rich salvation we have in Christ, that he broke his body and shed his blood for me so that I have eternal life. Yes, this is difficult, but I have eternal life. During those times then where we have hardship and cancer, we experience sweet fellowship with him as we pray and think upon his promises. And we see that life with God, that's what satisfies. None of the things of the earth ever would. Life with him does. And he teaches us to be content then even during cancer. We have him. And having him with us, we really don't need anything else. So God uses trials to teach us contentment and also times of prosperity too. We might have a lot, and many of us do. But God uses that to show us that the things of the earth do not satisfy either. You might go on vacation, you might get a nice car, but by his grace, God brings you to realize during those times that those things pass away quickly. They don't bring peace. They don't bring satisfaction. Life with him alone, that's what brings peace and satisfaction. God uses these circumstances to bring us to say, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know his promises. I have this life with him. I'm content. I'm satisfied. And what's the possibility of living in contentment? What is the possibility of this? Paul makes it very plain in verse 13. The possibility of this is in Christ alone, through his power. Paul was very intent on showing that it was not in his own power that he was living in contentment. Verse 13, he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Paul is making sure that no one thinks, I've made myself content. He does not want anyone to think that he is something. He doesn't want anyone to say, well, of course, Paul, you can be content. You're the Apostle Paul. You're the great Apostle of Christ. And I'm not great like you are, so I cannot be content. Paul makes sure that we know that he does not live in contentment in his own strength. He says, I do it through Christ, who strengthens me. Through Christ. So, in this verse, Paul is not saying either, I can take care of kids well through Christ who strengthens me. That's really not his main point. His main idea is not either I can dribble a basketball well or win this game through Christ who strengtheneth me. That's really not the point. What he's mainly talking about here is I am content through Christ who strengthens me. This text is often used to refer to many different things, but that's the main idea according to the context. I can be content and serve the Lord in that way through Christ who strengthens me. And when you think upon who Christ Jesus is, you see then that he has the power to bring us who are naturally dead. He has the power to bring us to be content. He is the one, remember, who was perfectly content all the way to the cross. If Christ's contentment depended on outward circumstances, he would have not been content. Think of what he went through. Jesus, throughout his life, was the poorest of the poor. He was rejected of his own. He was mocked. People were always looking for different things to pin against him. Say, you did this wrong or that wrong. And then think of what happened near the time of his death when he was spit upon, beaten,
brought to the cross, suffered under the eternal wrath of God for the sins of his people. But in all of that suffering, he had no trace of discontent. He went all the way to the cross in perfect submission to God's will. Even when that bloody sweat in the garden was pressed out of him, he said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Submission to the will of God. Contentment. And now think of that, the one who perfectly content, the Son of God come in the flesh. He, Jesus Christ, he empowers us, his people, to be content. He is the one who has arisen. He has ascended. He now works in us by his Spirit to be content. That's what he did with Paul. Christ united himself to Paul by the bond of faith. And he empowered Paul to learn contentment and to live in contentment. And that same Christ who was perfectly content, he has united himself to us by the bond of faith. That's why we believe. He has united himself to us. He lives within us and he empowers us to be content. Without him, we wouldn't be. Without him, we'd be discontent. We would curse God when we do not receive the things that we want. But Christ, he lives within us. He strengthens us to remember his promises, to never leave us or forsake us, to make all things work for our good, to remember who our Savior is and what he has done. He empowers us to be content. What a Savior he is. Thanks be to him. And Christ does all this work in us on the basis of his work at the cross. The cross. Jesus Christ went to that cross and took away all of our sins. And he earned the right to work in us by his Spirit. On the basis of his work, we are perfectly righteous. So he earned the right to work within us, and he does. He works in us to be content to the glory of the God of our salvation. Christ empowers us to live in contentment, and he does so through the Word and in the way of prayer. Through the Word and in the way of prayer. Christ empowers us through the Word. Christ taught the Apostle Paul contentment through the circumstances of life. And he empowered him to be content using the Word. So, Paul was a preacher of the Word of God, and Christ worked in Paul through that Word as he went through different experiences in life. And he empowered him to be content through that Word. Jesus says in John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. So Jesus sanctified Paul using the Word, bringing him to be content more and more. During the various circumstances of this life, Jesus used the Word to remind Paul of the blessed salvation that he had in Christ. And used the Word to remind Paul of his covenant promises. And Paul was satisfied. He was content. And Jesus does the same with us. We go through various circumstances in this life, some very difficult. And Jesus speaks to us in his Word as we go through those circumstances. We come here on Sunday, we hear that Word. And in that Word, even this morning that you heard too, he reminded us of the Savior and what he did. And he reminds us tonight of how he never leaves us or forsakes us. So even as we go through those trials, he's empowering us through the Word to be content and at peace. So attend to the means of grace. Come here to hear Christ speak to you in the Word and be empowered unto contentment to the glory of the God who has delivered us and given us eternal salvation. Christ empowers us through the Word, and he empowers us to be content in the way of prayer, too, as we face these difficult troubles or various circumstances. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 brings up prayer. Verses 6 and 7 say, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests, be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So verse 6 basically says, pray. Pray. And verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What that shows is that God is pleased to provide us with peace and contentment and the way of us praying to Him. And it makes sense how that works. When we pray, we speak to God of His promises, and we speak His names like Jehovah, His covenant name. And as we dwell upon who He is, as we dwell upon His promises, we have this peace and we have contentment. God works in the way of prayer to give to us these great gifts. Praise God for His powerful work. He brings us to pray. He provides contentment in that way of prayer. He's the sovereign God of salvation. And may He empower us to live in contentment through the word that we've heard tonight. May He empower us to do this in thanksgiving for that salvation that we have been assured of this morning and heard of again tonight. Let's live to the glory of our God. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we bow in humility before Thee, the great God of heaven and earth. And we pray to Thee, O God, for forgiveness for our failures to be content. We look to Christ. We look for forgiveness in His blood, and we also look to Him for strength. May Jesus Christ strengthen us by His word and in the way of prayer to be content, to be satisfied in this life with where Thou hast placed us and what Thou dost send to us. We will never be content on our own. So we pray for Thy strength. And it is in Jesus' name alone we pray all of these things. Amen.